Start your business for the freedom of time. Now you're tired of the hustle and grind. There's gotta be a better way. It's time to listen to Chill and Prosper. Welcome to Chill and Prosper. You're ready to chill and prosper with Denise Duffield Thomas.
Hey, 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 it's Denise here, and welcome to another episode of Chill and Prosper. Big shout out to everyone who is listening in your car today. I love driving around. I love listening to podcasts in my car, and I know there are so many of you who are sitting there, maybe you're commuting to work or you're doing the kid drop-off or whatever. I just want to send a special shout out to all of my car podcast listeners today. Now, today I am talking about how to have a life and a business. And the thing is, this does shift and change over time. So I don't think there's ever going to be any static advice that I think, you know, oh, I'm the expert on this, because one of the big things is you have to be able to really reevaluate your life all the time and reevaluate your business and decide if it is still working for you. Now, I love my business. I'm a ruler in money archetypes. I love business. I love talking about money. I love talking about marketing. It's my jam. And for a lot of rulers out there, you understand, right? Our business is often our life, and it's also often our hobby. You know, people say, what do you do for fun? And you think, my business, talking about marketing. You'll find that a lot of your friends might be also in business. And this is a big departure, I think, from when I first started in business, because all of my friends had jobs, right? And so it was a bit of an adjustment. But then I got to a point where, you know, my life was kind of business, business, business. So this is the thing, it is going to shift and change over time. So I just want to share with you some of the things that I've kind of gone through recently around this and how it's really helped me to make a few shifts and changes. Now, before I just get started on that, I just realized I'm not setting my timer. And that's a big thing for me, is that I have to set my timer when I talk, because otherwise each episode will go for like 50 years and I won't realize what I've been doing. Okay, so a big, big wake-up call, I think, for me was maybe about a year ago. I realized that every time someone said, oh, thank you so much, you know, I love your podcast, or I love your books, or, you know, you've changed my life. And I replied with, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I kept on, every time I said it, it would like be this little ping in my heart, and I'd go, oh, that's interesting that I said my pleasure. And what I realized was that aside from work, I'd fallen into this habit again, which is very common for rulers, fall into this habit again of my only pleasure being from work and from my business. And that's not to say I don't love it and I don't get a lot of joy and pleasure out of my business. But I was like, my pleasure, really? Is that really how I get all of my pleasure? And maybe I was kind of overthinking a little bit, but it really got me thinking, what else would I like to do for pleasure? Where else could I get my pleasure from as well? And that's when, maybe at the start of 2023, I went back to dancing. I went back to doing ballet classes regularly. I've recently added in some tap and some burlesque classes. And it was a really interesting experience for me at the start, because I was kind of used to, again, falling into that habit of having my life revolve around my business. When I do calls, when I do, podcast interviews, and, you know, spending a lot of time helping people and answering questions and doing all those things in my money bootcamp. And I was like, that's great, but I have to have some pleasure as well for me. And so I started going to ballet like once a week, then twice a week. And I think this year I'm going to be doing three times a week. I'm going to also try and find some other tap classes and things like that to add that pleasure in. And what I found is you become way more efficient, I think, when you have things to go to. You know, like you kind of start your business, especially if you've quit your job or whatever, and you're like, okay, I've got the whole day now to do things. And I wasn't being super efficient, but also work was just bleeding into every single part of my life. Weekends, days, nights, everything. And I really didn't have spaciousness for anything else. And so even though, you know, like I could have done so many things and I've tried, I've gone, oh, why don't I go to yoga? Why don't I go to a walk with friends or something? But all of those things seemed really easy to like put down and go, oh, I don't feel like it today. Whereas ballet class is a real ritual to it for me. I put on my bun, I put on my tights, and I have to pack my ballet shoes, and it's carved out into my day. And even though I'm in the podcast studio now, normally I would spend a whole day here, but today I have a ballet class and it just happened to clash. Mark didn't look at my calendar. I always blame Mark on everything. Mark! And so I'm like, okay, I'll try and do two episodes and then I'm going to run to ballet and then I'm going to come back, because that is really important, having those non-negotiables. And obviously yours might not be ballet, might not be anything, but what is something that you can bring back in your life that used to give you a lot of pleasure? Because for me, that was dance and ballet for such a long time. It was my work, I guess. But bringing back something like that makes me feel joyous. It makes me feel like a kid again. I love that feeling of, you know, running to dance class. So what is it for you? What's a hobby that you can bring back? What is something you can do to carve out some space and some pleasure and some richness into your life? The other thing that I've started doing recently is cross-stitching and crafting and art. So last year I took an art class I saw an ad, you might see it as well, you probably will now that I've said it out loud, called This Is Artify. And I would see their Instagram ads come up all the time about painting, abstract paintings. And I thought, well, like, I don't think I could do any fine art, but I could probably do abstract. Why not? And I remember going, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to drive to the art supply store and I'm just going to sign up for it. And I signed up for it at the art supply store and I was waiting for the PDF to come through to say, here's what to buy, because I'd never done art before. And I went home and I made some art. And what's really funny is actually my laptop that I'm using in the podcast studio today has paint on it from that class, because I got my laptop out and I sat and I watched each lesson one by one and I did what they told me to do and I spilt paint over myself. But that gave me joy. It actually gives me pleasure to see that and to look at that. And of course I do art in my very type A ruler way. Instead of going, oh, I'll do one canvas, I'll do like three at a time. Or we moved into this new house that has a lot of kind of peachy apricot 90s kind of colors in. And instead of renovating it, I'm like, oh, let's just embrace that. So I made like 14 abstract just pictures and just went, okay, they're all going to go up now. So I still bring that, you know, Denise-ness into that. But then cross-stitching, I actually discovered this. I did it as a kid, but when we were in Europe and we had a lot of family all the time, I thought, I can't just sit here on my phone. It's very antisocial. But I do struggle sometimes with just sitting and making conversation or watching TV. So I was at a thrift store and I found this half-made cross-stitch kit. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll start doing that. And what I realized is it's something you can kind of sit and do and be social, but you have your hands busy, you have your mind busy. And it was really quite a challenge for me, counting out all the stitches and getting things wrong because I have dyscalculia. But it was just a really like feeling like, wow, I'm adding some richness and some creativity into my life that's not just business. And then as I sit there cross-stitching, I'll come up with an idea and I'll jot it down for the podcast. I'll go, oh my God, yes, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. In a way that being on my phone doesn't always do that. So I'm trying to add in, you know, adding more life, adding more creativity that's not just focused on my business. It's really tricky. And also that's given me more spaciousness to read more books. You know, I think like a lot of people who loved reading as a kid, I kind of fell off a little bit the last couple of years, because I spent more time on my phone, spent more time on the internet. There's a lot of news happening all the time. And I felt like I was just kind of worded out because of all the things that I was actually reading. And so I wanted to bring that back in as well, reading books for pleasure. For me, that I love reading autobiographies, especially Hollywood autobiographies, especially creative people autobiographies, and performers, things like that. And I really wanted to bring that in as well, because I think, again, that gives you new ideas. It gives you freshness. It gives your brain a little bit of a rest. Okay, and then on the second half of this one, I'll talk about what I'm doing in my business to make space for this. But then the other thing that I've been doing is going to saunas. And so I don't like really, really hot saunas. I take it down quite a bit just so I'm warm, but I'm comfortable, so I'm not suffering. That's a good lesson for me. It doesn't have to hurt to be useful. And I sit there, but what I do is I take a bag of tools with me, right? I've got this literally a whole bag of things that I take in. I hook my podcast up because the place I go to has a Bluetooth speaker. I listen to a podcast that I might not listen to very often, like a long form one, like a Tim Ferriss podcast, or like a creative kind of podcast, a writing podcast, something like that. And I have my bag of tools, and in my bag of tools are all those things that I buy, you know, those little doodads sometimes that you buy that you never use. Well, this is me, right? So it's things like my fascia tools to, you know, with my fascia, which is the web of stuff, how scientific, under your skin that holds your bones and joints together, right? And it can get very stiff and all those things. So I have my fascia blaster, so I'll do my fascia. I might take a face mask, a hair mask. I'll take my, like, I don't know, is it gua sha? You know, those things that you scrape your face. I'll have my little facial tools. I'll take all of those things, because then I'll sit there for 45 minutes. I cannot have my phone in there because it overheats. I'm listening to a podcast, so I'm multitasking. But then I bring out all of those things that I think, oh, I should use that every now and again. You know, and I'll give myself a foot massage. I'll give myself a scrub, and then I'll get my little scrubbing gloves for in the shower afterwards, and I feel so productive. And then I feel energized again when I go back to my business, because I always come out of the sauna with ideas. So there are just some little things that I'm doing to add more pleasure into my life. Dance, art, cross stitch, and saunas. It's really cool. All right. So I've got some tips though about how I've made those changes in my business to allow spaciousness for that. Okay. So I'll see you right after this very, very quick break.
I'm Kerry Roward and my business is Awaken Kinesiology. So before bootcamp, I was already really booked out with clients, but I wasn't charging enough. And so I was getting really burnt out and I was really busy, and my systems and my processes weren't robust enough to grow, and that was something I really needed to work on. It's something that bootcamp helped me to really look at. So the year that I did bootcamp was the first year I grew my business to six figures. So I did put up my rates and I ran two online courses that year that did well, and I just, yeah, really expanded my business and I got a lot of systems and processes in place. I started saving regularly and it really helped me create a foundation that was very necessary in my life at that time, and to take a lot of control and power of my own money. If you know you've been really stuck with money stuff, and you know that your money story is holding you back, like, this program definitely will help you to change that money story, and it gives you so many tools and so much support to, you know, really change what's happening in your life with money and how you feel about it. Denise, I'd say every week, if not every day, there is something that I do with money that is influenced by what I've learned in bootcamp. So thank you so much.
Hey, welcome back. So you might be thinking, but I am really busy in my business. How am I supposed to make time for this? How am I supposed to make spaciousness for this? Especially, you know, if you're starting your business or you're in a really busy period. Okay, so go back 2 years ago, right? And I was relaunching my book, Chill and Prosper. So it's called Chillpreneur, and we relaunched it as Chill and Prosper. In that year, a lot of my projects converged into one. We had a lot of things that were pushed and moved from pandemic, things like filming and videos and photos and launches and all of these things. And I had to relaunch this book. And I'm telling you, this was one of the busiest periods I've ever had in my entire freaking life. And here's me relaunching a book called Chill and Prosper. Ah, and I was like literally working so much to try and get all these projects done. So I had a couple of really big lessons during this time that were really good, you know, in a way timely because of the book. And I just want to say straight off the bat, sometimes people say to me, oh my God, Denise, you know, you've got this book called Chill and Prosper, but you look like you're busy or you're not living, you know, how I expect you to live. And here's the thing, we all get out of balance. We all get out of balance all the time. And I think what I'm good at is stopping and reevaluating those things and going, where have I gotten out of balance? What's happening? What can I reevaluate? And so I had this moment where I'd recorded all of Sacred Money Archetypes as the course. And there was so much more work than I expected with that, so much more video editing. You know, we had editors getting sick. My videographer had his baby in the hospital. Like, it was not everything was, you know, in my control. And I remember just going, how are we going to get it done? And my first thought was how I always used to do things, which is, it's fine. I will just manipulate time and space and get it done. I will wake up at 5 o'clock. I will work until 3 o'clock. I will sleep on the couch and I'll just get it done, right? And there's been times in my life I've had to do it very temporarily. Or when I was at university, I'd have to always pull all-nighters because I never was organized with my time. Anywho, so I was like, that was my first thought. I'll just work harder. I'll just manipulate time and space to get it done. And, you know, I was like going cross-eyed at the computer. My eyes were literally just like, no more. We have been on this computer for like 16 hours. You just have to, we can't do it anymore. And I said to Mark, we're going to push the launch. And he's a ruler as well in money archetypes, right? And it's like, we will just work harder. We will just work harder because we never want to say we can't do it. We never want to admit defeat. We never want to work less than we should. And I could just see him going, no, we've never pushed a launch before. We've said to people we're going to do it here. And we're like, we are usually, our word is our bond, right? But I knew it had to come down to me as the CEO of the business to go, you know what, buck stops with me on this. I'll, you know, write an email to people to say, I'm sorry, you're expecting this at this time. It's not going to happen. And we're going to push it 6 weeks. And it felt really empowering to make that decision. I guess that's my first really big lesson for you. In your business, in your life, you are the CEO. And CEO does not mean chief everything officer. It's chief executive officer. You are the boss. And you can choose. And it's okay to renegotiate things. It's okay to say to people, I'm sorry, I cannot make that deadline. Here is the new deadline and I will make that happen. It felt so empowering to say that. A little twinge of, oh my God, I'm a loser. I couldn't make it work. Even though I'm like, oh my God, I'm working so hard. And it's not my fault. All these projects kind of converged at once. It was my fault a little bit, but I'll talk about that in a sec. But just that feeling of like, oh, I can choose. I can renegotiate. And there's been a lot of times in my life where I just thought, no, you've made your bed. You now lie in it, suck it up. And it felt really good to do that, knowing that only I could have made that decision. Mark wouldn't have made it. My team wouldn't have made it. And also, no one can tell you. If someone had said to me, I think you should move the launch because I don't think you can do it, I would have gone, screw you, watch me. Of course I can. What are you talking about? And it felt really good to make that. The second big lesson from that, though, is that I still really struggle with negotiating deadlines and estimating how long things are going to take. When Hay House asked me to do a new edition of my book, Chillpreneur, I said, yes, great. Because they said, you know, there's been a pandemic. We'd love you to acknowledge it, but also put in some case studies. And I went, yeah, no problem. That's going to be so quick and easy. And then I literally rewrote the whole book. Now, if you've read both versions, you might not notice all of those subtle changes, but I literally kind of rewrote most paragraphs. I added things, I shifted things around, all that kind of stuff. That's on me. I did not need to do that. They did not ask for that. And even as I handed it in, I remember I handed in all the changes on a Google Doc, and I like went to bed at 3 a.m. totally cross-eyed, and then I woke up the next morning and I was like, I thought of one more thing, and I'm like, ah! But because it was on a Google Doc, I could sneak in and like change it and add it in there. But I did not have a clue about how long that would take. And that's what I've always have to watch, is adding multiple things in and layering things in, because I think each one will be super easy. Big, big lesson. Now, my friend Susie Ashworth, who is also a Hay House author, she taught me a hugely valuable lesson. And I'm not saying do this, but she, when she was writing her book Infinite Receiving, which is out now and it's amazing, and I wrote the foreword for it, it was not ready at her first deadline. She was like, it's not right. It's not ready. It's not the standard that I want. And she pushed back that deadline. And when I heard that, I went, you're allowed to do that. You don't just have to burn yourself out. And sometimes you can't move things. You know, sometimes they go, no, it's an immovable deadline. There's too many things that have to be pushed. Suck it up, right? But sometimes things can be moved and shifted. Sometimes the other side are going, oh yes, I need some bandwidth too. Actually, that would work better for us. And the lesson is, you can ask and say, hey, look, you know, I think this would serve the project better. I think this would serve the team better. How about we do this and renegotiate? That was a big lesson for me, hearing that from Susie. Really empowered, but it's for the good of the project. It's not for selfish. She didn't do it for selfish reasons. She didn't do it because she was lazy. She did it because she was like, it needs more time and it's not good enough yet. And I have put things out that weren't good enough and I have regretted it. But sometimes you suck it up and you just do it, right? That's totally fine. Big lesson. So where is this showing up in your life, where you've said yes to too many things? You have, layered in multiple things. You feel like you can't move it. You feel bad, right? And, you know, you might think, oh, it's going to inconvenience other people. They're going to think I'm a flake. All of these things that go through your head, which is exactly what went through my head too. But the other big lesson is to say no in the first place to things. Okay, and so this came up for me when we were preparing to go overseas for 4 months with the kids, with our family. And I had a ton of projects to finish before going. Not only a ton of just work stuff, but I also wanted to batch all of my social media ahead of time, all of my podcast episodes, newsletters, you know, all of these things, so I didn't have to work when we were there, because it was supposed to be family time. And, but at the same time, I'd signed on to work with, an editor on a memoir. And if you've heard me talk about my memoir, I've been talking about it for years. You're probably sick of me talking about it, because it's just like been such a hard project for me. So I signed up to work with an editor to have some accountability. And, it was hardcore. I had to meet with him twice a week and I had to hand in stuff. And I realized, I didn't have the spaciousness for it. And I felt like such a loser saying to him, look, I'm about to go overseas with my family. I've made a deadline to hand this draft in, which, you know, doesn't have a book contract or anything. So it's self-imposed deadline by, you know, like the day before I'm supposed to fly. And I said, I know I can do that. I know I can move heaven and earth. I know I can make it all happen. But I was like, I really don't want to. And I'm sorry, because I know you probably hear this from writers all the time. We always have excuses. Oh, it's hard. Oh, I don't want to do it. And I said, this is not that thing. And, you know, he really gave me a gift. He wrote back and he said, you know, you are obviously a really successful person and you have a very full, busy, successful life. And he's like, it's okay. We can pick this up again next year. And it was such a gift, because I felt so guilty. I felt like a loser. I felt like, you know, oh, I'm just one of those people and always has an excuse. And I just went, no, it's just not going to work. I know that I'll get on that plane and I'll be absolutely exhausted. I'll be exhausted. And I don't want to do that, because there's a lot of other stuff. We're moving house. We're selling a house. You know, I'm batching all this stuff. Like, there is enough that I have to do. So that was a real gift. But then another thing happened. As I was getting closer to that trip, I had people going, oh, hey, can you write a foreword for my book? Oh, hey, can you be on my podcast? Hey, I'm starting a podcast. Can you be my first guest? Oh, hey, can you do this? Can you write a testimonial? And they were all things that normally I'd be like, yeah, no problem, 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 right? And some of them I was like, yep, cool, I'll put it on my list before I go. And some of those things I'm like, and what's really great is when someone writes back and goes, great, I've pre-written it for you. All you have to do is pick one. And I go, yes, thank you, queen. But also I realized how many times I say yes without saying, hey, so what's the word count? When do you need it by? Whatever. Because a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs like me, we're a bit disorganized, right? And so we don't know how long things are going to take and we leave things to the last minute. And I've done this myself where I've gone, hey, can you write a file word? Can you write a testimonial when you need it? Tomorrow, because I've procrastinated asking. So I know I don't like judge people when they do that to me, right? Because I'm exactly the same. So some of those things I could do, some of them couldn't. But then when I was on the trip, then people started to say, hey, do you mind just doing this thing for me? It'll only take a couple of minutes. And I was like, no, like I'm on this 4-month family experience where I want to give my family my bandwidth. Each one of those things might be only a couple of minutes, but they all add up. And so I just started saying to people, hey, cool. Don't send me an email now. Can you just put a note in your calendar to send me an email in February and we can pick this up then? And what was interesting about that, again, I felt rude by saying that because some people say, oh, I'll send you a note now. And I go, no, because that will be an open loop for me. That will be an open loop and then I'll think about it. So I just said, yep, let's revisit that in February. And a few people, you know, oh, please. And I'm like, I felt bad and I was like, eh. And there was a couple of times, there was one or two times I went, okay, I'll do it. And then like the internet didn't work. And I was like, oh, this is exactly why I need to just stick with it and say no. Okay, I know this episode might be a little bit longer, but there's another big, big, big change that we made in the business that's made such a huge difference. So normally we do a big launch in January, and this is where we say, hey, join Money Bootcamp for the year, but also we do a big package deal where we go, cool, you can join Money Bootcamp, Sacred Money Archetypes, Manifesting Course, you pay for it in one big, you know, package, you can have a long payment plan, all of these things. It's always a very successful launch for us. So it's always at least $1 million launch, you know, $1.5 million. I think we've gotten close to that 2 million mark for it. So it's obviously a big deal. And it's always, what's great about a January launch is you go, oh, wow, I've kind of hit my income goals in like the first month. It's really great, right? And you go, great, I've got that money coming in. I've got those payment plans coming in, which means then that often our payment plans end, you know, December, right? So we were looking at the trip, which was September to mid-January, and saying, are we really going to have this big family experience? Like, are we committed to seeing Mark's family, my family, having this time for the kids? Are we really committed to it? Or are we pretending to commit to it and not really doing it and actually working the whole time? And we decided, no, we're going to do it. So that meant going, let's not do our January launch. And not even setting a date for the next one, because as soon as you set a date, it's an open loop. People start to go, great, well, what date and when are you going to do this? And it just, everything then starts to fall into place. You start to reverse engineer your launch. And so I went, let's do something that we've never done before. Not only not do our January launch, but not set a date for when we're doing it. And we'll have a regular meeting with our business coach in like February, and we'll plan out like the first half of the year and decide if we even want to do a launch. Okay. So of course we had to plan for that financially because all of our payment plans, you know, end in December. So that means there could be really not a lot of income coming in for that first quarter. Okay. So we did plan for that. We had sold our house last year. So we're like, okay, well, let's budget for that, which meant that we looked at other big expenditure and went, okay, well, let's make sure that we streamline the business a little bit. Maybe we downsize some of our staff because we won't need them for that first launch. You know, we won't need them all while we're away, and we won't need them for that first launch. So that's like, you know, 6-7 months. So there's no point having lots of people who we have to pay and we don't need, right? And looking at money leaks, even little ones where I was like, oh, why are we paying like, you know, $10 for a subscription we've never even used? Up to quite expensive ones, like a couple of grand a month for things. And so we planned for that, to be able to have that real spaciousness and have that real pleasure. Now, that was so great because we realized that it's not just January that you do the launch in. For us, it was Christmas, it was November, it was October, because in October, Mark's like, I need to do all the launch stuff so we can get it done before Christmas, you know, and you just go, it just means that it's your whole year that you're really thinking about this launch. And so for the first time in like 6 years, we had Christmas where we weren't also thinking about launch stuff. And what's really interesting, we always try and get stuff done in like October, November, but things have a way of like shifting and changing, right? And I remember 1 year we were trying to do our launch videos really early in like October, November, and then pandemic, right? And then our videographer was sick, and I remember having to do videos up to like the 22nd of December. And then of course they need to get edited and all those things. So it meant that every year, Christmas and January, everything, it was just hanging over us all the time. We were always thinking about it. There were always open loops to do. And it just never was a truly relaxing time. And in Australia, that's our summertime. You know, so we'd be trying to go to the beach with the kids, trying to go to the dog beach, trying to swim in the pool, but always just thinking, oh, I have to check those edits. Oh, I have to do the thing. And for me, that's not pleasurable. So I don't know when our regular launch is going to be now. I've given myself spaciousness to be able to change my mind about when we do it. And that's going to give us more energy and spaciousness to decide, right? So it's your business, your rules. Okay, so I know we went over a little bit more for this episode, but I think it was a really important one to hopefully inspire you about where things are need to be renegotiated, need to be shifted and changed, where things have crept up, where maybe they were okay for a while, but they're not okay anymore. And it's totally okay for you to change your mind, to renegotiate, to disappoint people, all of those things. Really, really tricky. It really is. I would love to hear your feedback from this episode. And if you need permission to shift and change something, let me know. And I'll also, you know, can point you to other episodes. If you might think, oh, I need some help on boundaries, I need something like that, always send me a DM. Myself, my team, you know, we can point you to the right place. I'm always at Denise DT on social. Okay, I've got one really quick thing to say to you after this last final break, so come back in a sec.
Hi, my name is Gemma James. I'm a law of attraction and personal development coach for female entrepreneurs from the south of England and the UK. And I joined Denise's Money Bootcamp, and I have to say, it's got to be one of the most incredible investments that I've ever made. Because not only have you got the wonderful training from Denise actually in the bootcamp, but you've got the support from the other bootcampers, from Denise, from everybody else in the community. And that Facebook community really is my favourite place to go on the internet, because it's somewhere where you can just go if you're feeling a little bit down, feeling a little bit flat, if you're struggling, if you feel a new block come up, even if you don't want to be taking part and you're a little bit of a lurker. I promise you, you're still going to get something out of it. Going through Money Bootcamp has cleared so many blocks and so many limiting beliefs for me that it's allowed me to have my best month ever in my business, but it's also allowed me to actually course correct a little bit. It's given me the confidence. It's given me the ability to see that my business can be easy and I can run my business and I can make money in the way that I want to, and I deserve to do it for myself. It doesn't matter what all the gurus out there say. You are your own guru because you're in charge of your business. And going through bootcamp has really given me the confidence to see that. It's allowed me to, as I say, not only have my best month ever, but it's allowed me to increase my business, really get crystal clear on who it is that I want to be working with, which is just growing my business, growing my tribe, growing my audience. And I know it's just going to go from there.
Okay, welcome back. So I have talked a lot about reading Barbara Streisand's most recent book, her big autobiography. And I've quoted this before, but she talks about how like wealth for her means that she can eat the top half of the honeydew melon and that's it. And it really triggered me when I first read that, because I thought, oh, how wasteful. How wasteful to buy honeydew melons and only eat the top half. But it's not about the melons, right? It's about, it's okay for you to pick and choose the most pleasurable parts of your life and your business and only do that. Only do that. You can outsource that to other people. You know, I'm sure she's not just throwing those melons away. You can use the bits to feed other people, right? Like she can literally feed birds. She can feed, I don't know if dogs eat honeydew melons. She can feed other people who have, you know, don't have the preference of the top bit. You can hire other people in your business to do things that you don't want to do. You're allowed to choose. You don't have to be everything, do everything, and have everything the same as everyone else. You're allowed to choose. So, I want you to go away with that thought of Barbara Streisand saying that wealth to her means being able to eat the top half of the honeydew melon if she so desires. And so that's where I'm really going to look at that in a really granular way this year too, is going, which bits of my life and my business do I really love and relish? And which parts do I not love anymore that I can give away to other people, that I can outsource, that I can let go of? All right. So go forth in pleasure. I'd love to hear your insights from this episode. As always, I'm at DeniseDT, and I will see you on next week's episode of Chill and Prosper. It's your time. You're ready for the next step. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Chill and Prosper. Tell your friends to chill and prosper. Review and subscribe. We hope you had a very good time.